Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host Nikki Carulla with special guest host and engineer extraordinaire Ronan Rosner.
Thank you.
How are you, buddy?
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's always fun.
Dude, I love doing this with you. It's so we have a good rapport, man.
We do.
So you and I were talking about how you saw Blade Runner.
Yeah,
tell me what you thought of Blade Runner.
I loved it. You know, I loved the first movie. And, you know, it grew on me throughout the years, kind of watching it, you know, again.
It was like a cult classic.
Yeah, it is.
So I missed it when it was a cult classic. So I actually watched both Blade Runners the same day.
Yeah.
So it was, the first one was good. I liked it, but I think I would have liked it more if I had seen it as a kid in the 80s.
Maybe.
You know, but I loved the second one. Tell me what you liked about the second one.
Well, obviously the visuals and the story. I liked the story. It was a nice twist, you know.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I like that they brought some of the old characters
back. Of course, yeah.
That was bitch.
What's his name?
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, his Gaff.
A little origami.
Yeah,
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So I was surprised that they did that, but I was happy that they did too.
And Rachel, although they used the footage from the old movie, but they gave her, they mentioned her in the credits.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. They, when, you know, they do the list of actors, so... Her and
Edward James Olmos?
They were like at the end. So they got their, especially her, she got the credit. So
one thing I was really impressed with were the visuals.
Yeah.
You know, like just, like the pacing of the movie was the same as the first one, which I really liked. The sound and the soundtrack combined with the visuals, I was like, man, this is really well done.
Yeah.
It was like artistic, but still like thematically cool with... You know, inconsistent with the first one.
I mean, unlike, let's say, Star Wars, you know, The Force Awakens, this one wasn't like, okay, let's do it from the beginning for the generation who didn't watch it. Yeah, exactly. That was like a continuation, obviously. And there's a lot of Easter eggs, a lot of things that you mentioned, like the music, at the end. You know, Ryan Gosling's character, I don't know if he dies or not,
right.
But they played the same music from the original one.
And so. I liked, you know, there was one scene, this is not giving anything away, where he just walks in, you just see a bunch of orange smoke.
Yeah.
And huge sculptures.
Yeah.
You know, like a huge, you know, kind of building. And when I saw that, seeing that on the big screen was, it was a simple shot.
Yes.
But it just looked so extraordinary because of the color scheme. You don't see... such bright colors all the time.
True.
When you see movies for you know, taking up such a wide part of the shot. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So
yeah.
I loved it. I thought
very
it was
minimal.
Really well done.
Yeah.
Yep. I had a crazy weekend. Did you do anything fun this weekend?
Yeah, actually we went to see the car races at in Long Beach.
That's awesome.
Pedro. Yeah, it's part of the global rally race.
Was it like Grand Prix or is it like Daytona?
No, it's like more like a closed circuit.
Okay.
It's I think it was like maybe half a mile or so. It's partly paved, partly dirt. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and they did it San Pedro Port, Los Angeles Port. So that was fun.
That's awesome. You took the kiddies?
Yeah, took both my daughters. They loved it.
Just they were like, it's loud.
Yeah, I got them those protective headphones.
Smart.
Yeah. Because you actually sit on the tracks.
Was it super loud? Because I've never been to any of those.
Yes, yes. Sitting that close, and those cars, you know, it's like Subaru, WRX. Actually, the one is the VW Beetle. So
he's what?
You think
really?
About that car, the bug
must have been souped up like crazy.
Of course, of course.
So what was the speed? What was the top speed that they were hitting?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they put that information because you don't have long straights. These are short right. straights. Well, right. But I'm guessing even with that, they probably reach at least 60 miles. You know, even that short straight.
Wow.
It
That's
was fun.
Fun
and crashes, of
there
course.
Were crashes?
Yeah, because you see like 7-8 cars all going wow. in the same turn, and they're like everybody crashes each other.
I secretly drive on the freeways like I'm a race car driver. So like, there's a part of me that's like, I wish I could just be on a track just for one day, just to see what it'd be like. You know, like I've always wanted to do a virtual Monte Carlo. You know,
yeah.
like really, just like see what the experience would be like, but. They now have simulators for all of that. So
well,
you can still do.
I know Fontana, which is a circuit. They do a lot of races over there. There's a company that does like
go karts or what?
No. Actual sports cars.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
depending
awesome.
On how much money you're willing to pay, you can
and what,
go
do you rent
from,
a car? You just rent?
They bring their cars. Anything
That's
from
awesome.
Dodge Chargers, you know, souped up all the way to, I think, Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, you just gave me some guy time to do some of that stuff.
Years ago, I used to ride motorcycles, and back in 2004, was it? I went to a racing school, motorcycle racing school in England.
You'd get down real low.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those guys are crazy.
Yeah.
Like how they're just like inches from the road.
Oh, the professionals are amazing. But for me, it was just the experience of doing it at one of the most famous circuits out there, Donington in England. I was like, wow.
That's insane, dude.
I'm riding on that circuit. So it was an amazing
See, I'm
experience.
Learning new things about you. Yeah. Like, you have this, like, superhero backstory. I went and saw two of my favorite bands. One who I'd seen before, a band called Mute Math, which was awesome. I was a little bit bummed because their drummer, who's one of my favorite parts of the band, he left the band.
Really?
So I was kind of bummed, yeah. But they did really well. But the coolest thing, there are two things that were cool. One, on Saturday, I saw the Beach Boys. Well, I saw Brian Wilson.
Yep.
And he,
hence
he
the
played,
shirt
yeah,
you're wearing
and
right
he
now.
He played Pet Sounds live from beginning to end,
yeah.
which was awesome. And, you know, Al Jardine, who's one of the Beach Boys members, his son was doing all the Brian Wilson high parts, and he sounds exactly like a young Brian Wilson.
Wow.
So it was like really hearing a 70s version of the Beach Boys
nice.
Singing Pet Sounds. And then on Sunday, I went to the Dodger game.
Oh,
dude,
man.
That game, it's the best Dodger game I've ever been to.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, it was 1-1. And, like, the last game I went to, Justin Turner hit one out of the park.
Yep.
And I was telling my buddy, I'm like, you know, last time I came, Justin Turner hit one out of the park. And then he gets up. There's two guys, on, you know, on base, first and second.
Yep.
Puig. And,
two out.
Two out.
And
bottom of the ninth. I mean, that's like a that childhood
dream. That walk-off home run was, like,
insane.
Yeah.
And as soon as he hit it, everybody got up in the stands, and you just knew it had the distance, and I was like, oh my God, this
you can
is crazy,
see, you can
and the
see.
Whole place erupted, man.
Yeah, I watched it on TV.
Dude, it was crazy.
And I was like, wow.
So there's like, a Dodger game tonight.
Yeah,
we hope that
yeah.
Let's get a clean
third
sweep.
Game.
That's right.
In Chicago.
That's right.
Well, they have to win two more. They have to win because
know,
it's best of seven.
Best
so
of seven.
Yeah,
but I want it to go two more out. But can you imagine? They only need to win six more games, and they clinch the World Series.
Yep.
I mean, that's insane. It's been 30 years since we have, you know.
Yep.
And it wasn't the home run on the anniversary of Kirk Gibson's home run?
Yeah. Justin Turner's was on the same day. So.
Isn't that crazy? Yep. So October 15th. That's our day, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think our special guest has arrived, Mr. Matt Westerman. Let's welcome him back. What's up, dude?
What's up, man? How you doing?
You've had an eventful couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us what's going on with you.
Well, the big thing is I'm releasing my EP November 10th, and it's called Life Out Loud, and I've just been doing all the build-up for it. I did a music video that came out a couple weeks ago.
And you jumped out of a plane to do it.
So
that's a great idea, by the way.
Thanks, man. It was so Life Out Loud is about like going for it, like taking a chance. And the song, One Fine Day, is a song about like basically taking a leap of faith. So I was talking with my friend about like something I could do for the video, and it was like we were just thinking of all the things that are leaps of faith, and like I mentioned skydiving like jokingly at first.
You're like, yeah, yeah.
I was like,
cool.
I'm not gonna actually do that. But then it slowly dawned on me that like I had to do it because it was perfect. Like, and then I did it.
You know, I've actually gone skydiving. It's been about 15 years.
Oh,
since
cool.
I did
where
it.
Did I, where?
I did it in San Diego, and where was it? Is it called Paris? It's called.
There is a place called Skydive Paris, and there is a place in San Diego.
Yes,
I did a ton of research on.
That's crazy. Yeah, so I did it in Paris, but it's Paros, I think. It's P-A-R-O-S,
yeah,
like that. But man, what's crazy is like I've always been like a thrill seeker. You know, this is my superhero backstory, Rodin. So I've bungee jumped, I've cliff jumped.
Whoa.
And so I wanted to do skydiving. But the crazy thing is because you hit terminal velocity, you actually don't feel like you're falling. So you're looking out, you know, and you just, you're falling, but you don't get butterflies. Did you get butterflies?
Well, right when you like jump out the plane, you feel like maybe you died
yes,
or something.
Yes. Like, that was a very surreal experience.
It's just weird. It's like not a human thing to jump out of a. It doesn't make sense. Your body's like, no.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's funny like too. Footage of me like screaming, but I didn't release that. I
well,
could. It's funny.
It's definitely like the moment right before too.
Yeah.
Like where they're like, okay, you're up, and you're like playing it cool, like okay, yeah, this is cool.
No.
And I was on a date too. Like, we went on like a date to do it, and it was awesome. But she was like, you know, the other instructor that you know was. Her instructor was like flirting with her, and I was just like, I don't even care. I'm so nauseous with nerves that I don't even care. And then we just did it, and it was like,
was it a tandem that
yeah,
you're
tandem.
Hooked up to the?
Yeah, you only can do a non tandem if you take like 13 hours,
yeah.
of courses or something like that, right?
Yeah, you can't do it the first time for sure.
And you know what? Honestly, I don't know if I'd want to do it.
No.
Not tandem the first time.
Jesus.
But man. I have some friends. I have a friend named Renan, oddly enough, who got certified and would jump all around the world just like nice. Doing somersaults and learning how to do all the turns and stuff. And I was always like, man, that would be so dope to do. But never could. A, it's an expensive sport.
It
and
is.
And B,
yeah.
it's, you know, I the thought of me doing that now, I'm like, no. I have no desire
really?
To do that. Yeah, I just have. You know what? It's as you get older, it's like it kind of leaves you a little bit.
I don't know. I'm hitting the point in my age, and I'm saying I want to do all those things.
Do it.
You know, I used to at my 30s. I just couldn't go on a roller coaster, and now I'm just like whatever. I don't have that fear anymore. Mm. I didn't enjoy the fear, you know, of
yes.
being on a
yes.
roller coaster, and now it's like. Gone.
Now you got to jump out of a plane.
And that's the top of my list. That's the top of my bucket list, you know.
And the views are incredible. Did you, like, so tell me what you were prepping wise for doing this jump. Like, you were thinking about doing a music video. Today, right?
Well, like, the week before, I was prepping, like, is this the last? I felt like maybe this was the last week I'd be alive. So I, like, told my parents, I told my mom I loved her, like, the last time. And I didn't tell her I was jumping, but I told her I loved her. And then after I jumped, she said, oh, that's why you said that. I was like, damn, Mom, I tell you I love you sometimes. Is that rare? I do love my mom, for the record.
And how was the landing?
I landed on my butt.
Okay.
But it was a smooth butt landing.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, and back to the thing you were saying about, like, for the first 5 seconds, it feels like maybe you died. But then, like, you feel like you're just kind of stuck in the sky.
Yeah,
and the wind's just kind of blasting you.
And like, it's like you're putting your head outside of a car.
Yeah.
And you can't really breathe.
I didn't want to move. Like, if you see the video, I, like, do, like, little thumbs up things. But I was
right.
like, I can't move because I, like, swiggle out of the thing or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know what? What I remember was... I didn't realize how fast I was going. And you got a guy video videographing.
A lot of footage of it.
Footage.
Yeah, I got great footage
so
of it.
So did he pull his shoot first or did your guy pull your shoot first?
That's another thing. So I had two extra guys film me. And then the guy I was with had a GoPro on his wrist. So what I didn't know is once my guy pulled the shoot and he did it first, then you lose the other two guys. So it's only 60 seconds of camera footage, which takes us from the second course to the end of the bridge. It got us pretty far. It's like 60 seconds. But yeah, once we pulled the shoot first, and then we said like goodbye to everybody.
I remember the moment that I saw how fast you were really falling was when the shoot was pulled.
That's the other scariest part. When the shoot pulls, If you see again, if you see the video, that's the
yeah. One lady, she went skydiving and she almost fell out.
Whoa!
She fell out of the harness.
No,
and the guy had to like hold her.
She was like an 80
years old, and she starts like falling out of the thing, and the guy just
grabbed her
and held on to her. Yeah. Until they landed.
And she was laughing the whole time.
Dude. I wouldn't be able to laugh at that.
I would not be laughing at that moment.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So tell us about this new record you did.
Well, I thought jumping out of a plane would be a good start to like promoting it.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. And so it's a 6-song EP. It's got... I can tell you the song titles or like what it's about. I mean, it's about
what's
like
the instrumentation. How long did it take you to do it? What was the?
I took a long time to like do the whole thing. Like it probably took like 2 years.
Wow!
I know it's too long, but
it's crazy.
I learned you can't be a perfectionist. No one even hears what you're doing at the end.
Nope. At the end of it, I have a rule like 10 months for an album.
That's good.
That's all you need. That's recording, writing, mixing.
Really?
That's get it out there. It's more important to get it out there.
I'm gonna adopt that.
Obsess over it. But I have had friends that, you know, have spent years on records and it turned out to be great for them, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I just can't do that. I mean, I want to write so many songs, you know. So tell me why you spent so long. Were you just like moving things left and right and making it sound perfect?
I don't even. I mean, like I was, because also it was expensive. So like as I drew it out, I like kind of was able to make money and put more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never have released a full EP before, so I don't. Maybe I was just like a little, like scared, or maybe I don't know. Like we could jump into the psychology of why I did it.
Let's jump into the psychology right now. Let's sky jump into this, right?
This is the other side of Life Out Loud. This is Life In Loud.
Yes,
Life Inside.
This is Life Soft Spoken.
You know, I wanted it to just be really good, and I just like I heard everything in the mixes. Like I heard my vocals weren't quite right. I was like, okay, let's see if we can find another take with that part, or like the guitar if it was too loud in place. Like I was just kind of like really into the mix. I wanted to feel it when I heard it, and I think that's the main reason.
I'm just like, this is something that it's like you love music.
Yeah.
So it's like the hardest thing, I think, is making a statement
yeah.
and loving it and feeling like it's a part of all the music that you love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I understand that. I remember when you were starting the recording
phase.
This was like a year and a half ago, I think.
Yeah.
So from start to end, what was like the biggest thing that you learned, either about yourself or the recording process?
Set deadlines. Like, I work so much better with deadlines. Like, because I like was thinking of music idea, video ideas for like a year, but once I realized I'm releasing the record in November, I have to have a music video. Then all of a sudden, the skydive idea kind of popped into my head. Like, there's a magic to deadlines that I really want to pay more attention to next time.
Yep.
What else did I learn? I learned, you know, you just got to have fun with it. It's supposed to be fun. If it's ever getting stressful, like remember, like it's music.
Well, it's funny. Like whenever Ren and you're a musician as well. It's like whenever I go into a recording situation, you know, in the early days, I would get incredibly anxious. Like, I would just, like, be thinking about the money that's being spent, thinking about my own abilities, thinking about, like, how much we're getting accomplished. Like, you set goals every day. Now it's, like, I'm much more open. It's a much faster process than it's ever been for me. There's no anxiety. It's, like, all fun. But there's a little bit of, like, you have to be meticulous. You have to set deadlines. You still have to have goals. Because if you don't, then you're just like kind of farting around in the studio. And that's just no fun. No fun. Right? Right?
Very nice.
All right. So tell me about the songs. Song to song, what's the instrumentation on your EP?
I told you who worked on it. I had some really awesome people work on it too, which made it easier. Sean Hurley.
Yeah.
Played bass.
That's awesome.
My producer is knew Marty Rifkin like growing up or something.
Dude, I knew.
I think we've talked about
Marty
this last
Rifkin.
Time.
He produced your record?
No. My producer was Brad Swanson.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
Awesome.
So did Marty play on your record?
Played on one song.
Dude, Marty Rifkin played on my record,
what?
Man. He's High like five. The best pedal steel player, I think, in the country. He played with Bruce Springsteen. He played with Tom Petty. He's just like the man. And John Mayer's bassist is the other guy he mentioned, Sean Hurley, who played on his record. That's awesome.
Yeah. Watching those guys work was like one of the best parts about doing it, just because they're so good. And watching them like put their magic on your song is like a beautiful thing to just kind of. That's when I had no stress.
This is easy breezy.
When we were tracking them. So, yeah, so there's a. I mean, it's me singing and playing guitar. That's where the songs all came from. And then it's. I mean, some songs have more. There's like bass, drums, piano. We put some synthy stuff in there, some strings.
Wow.
We went full. That's why it took so.
That's awesome.
We did. There's like violin. Like, well, when we play Flower Dress, you'll see at the end of the song, like, maybe you're like, oh, I see why it took so long.
Well, let's hear Flower Dress. Let's jump right into it.
Okay.
This is the first song off the. What track number is this on the record?
Number four.
Number four.
Jumping right to the middle.
Flower Dress. Here it is.
About tomorrow, just play
was so good. What a great tune.
Thanks, man.
It is.
Yeah, the strings were nice. The arrangement was nice. Yes. Really cool. A percussive guitar part. I love a good rhythm guitar part.
Yeah.
Most people neglect that, but I just love a good... But you're influenced by Dave Matthews.
Yeah, so I have to.
Just like... Yeah, it's like yeah. You cannot have a great...
That's how the song starts.
That's right. Awesome. Awesome.
So what's your... process of writing songs? You got lyrics, you got the music. How do you do it?
Good question. Usually it starts with like a guitar riff, something I think is like interesting, and I'll just start kind of singing over it, like whatever, I don't even know, free, like just whatever, just saying words, and I'll put it on a voice memo, and then I'll see if like there's an idea, then I'll just kind of sit with it for a couple days and just see like what is the theme of my it's going on in my life right now, and sometimes they connect. I'm like, oh, that would be perfect for this. And then I write the words.
Nice.
It's awesome. Yeah. I like that. And in the studio, did you find that you were moving tempos slower, faster?
Yeah. So that was another, like, I was very, like, sensitive to, like, what the BPM was, I guess. So we definitely tried a couple different BPMs with, like, this song. But I wanted it, like, right in that really groovy spot. And I forget what this one was. It was probably like 97 or something.
I think that's the hardest for me. It's like finding between two clicks, four clicks.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, is it better faster? Is it better slower? Like, where does it feel really good? You know, and it's like when I'm playing live, I find that it's a little bit faster just because you're caught up in the energy. It's like maybe one or two clicks faster and it's got a great energy. But when you're in the studio, it's nice when things are settled and you have this room to kind of play and kind of feel things out. So... Mm. Yeah, I feel your pain.
One Fine Day, the skydive video, I think we recorded at 77.5.
Wow, really? You're like, it needs to be that 0.5. It's got to be in there.
Well, I tried. Okay, here's what we did. We recorded it like 70. We co-recorded it at one of the tempos, and then he has a tempo changer. So I just, one day we just spent, I sang it at 77, then at 78, then at 79, and like we're like, oh, it's 77 and 78, and then we just split the difference, and I was like, yeah.
Could have done,
and that's why it takes
too.
So long.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, of course.
Right, 78.5476.
And so, like, and what platforms are you releasing? Are you releasing on iTunes, Spotify?
Yeah, I'm just gonna put it. I'm just gonna digitally distribute it everywhere, wherever people have listened to music, they'll find it.
That's gotta be exciting when you got CDs made. And
yeah.
You get your CD after all that time.
Oh, that was a good day. I already got it. I started selling them. I play on that Santa Monica Pier sometimes, and it's really fun to sell your CD. And someone says, "I want to give you money for like your
you're
soul."
Like, thank you.
And I say,
thank
"Sure."
You. You're like, "Thank you. I only spent 2 years on it."
I don't say that.
You should. It should be your selling point.
You know, it's funny. Like sometimes I sell it for $5, and there's a pretzel on the like they sell pretzels for like $5.50 on the pier. Just to
so
insult
like,
music.
You're like, this is worth more than a pretzel because
well, it's a Wetzel's pretzel. That's pretty good.
That's true. That's true. You have some fine competition there. Yeah. What are you gonna play first live?
I could do One Fine Day.
Let's do One Fine Day.
Yep.
See if I have a peek. I do.
Is this... All right. This is the song you jumped out of a plane.
Yeah. So just imagine me jumping out of an airplane, even though you don't know what I look like. Let me get a little water.
All right. Hydrate the vocal cords.
Got a little secret, find it hard to keep. See, things are gonna go my way. How I'm not so sure when it's all been done before. But can dreams go to waste? See, all I know, I feel whole when I listen to what's in my soul. So here's the plan, I'm gonna take a stand and be who I want to. It's one fine day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back. Things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day.
much sleep, cause now I see my dreams with my eyes open out of my bed. No reason to be scared, I see love is everywhere when I get out of my head. And all I know and all I feel make up this crazy world I call real. So here's the plan, gonna take a stand and be who I want to. Yeah, it's one fine day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back, things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day. And I'm not gonna wait around, cause life is happening right now. No, I'm not gonna wait and see. Today I will be who I want to be, who I want to be.
Song. I like it.
That's the idea.
You're like, I want to make something beautiful, pretty, and positive.
That's life.
Job well done. That's right. So let me ask you this.
What's up?
When you're writing a song, are you thinking about, you know, influences like Dave Matthews, John Mayer?
Always thinking about them.
So you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I always listen to what they're throwing down.
Yeah.
And kind of like steal things left and right. And then, you know, they're also doing that too. So it's just like this ongoing chain of good music taken from the same ingredients.
Yeah.
What was inspiration? Like, did you learn a song that inspired that song?
That one?
Yeah. How did you come up with the riff for that?
Well, it's like the 5-3-1-3. I think...
he's talking chords, people. Yeah.
A minor, G, F, back to the G for the verse. I think that's that is what All Along the Watchtower is for Dave Matthews. But that's not true. The same rhythm. So yeah. I've always loved that chord. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, that's not the only song that does it. But
one of the most famous, though.
Yeah. I that might have had something to do with it. There's a Frank Ocean song, I think, called Swim Good. I don't know if it's a little older Frank Ocean.
On Channel Orange?
I think. Where I was listening to the rhythm of it, and I thought that was really cool.
Hmm.
And I think sometimes, like, John Mayer said, like, you become yourself when you try to imitate your heroes and fail.
Yes.
I always thought that was a really cool quote.
Yeah, yeah. So that was very true.
That was me failing at being Dave Matthews.
I failed at being Paul Simon, Dave Matthews, and the Allman Brothers many times.
Yeah. I'll keep trying, though.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So let me ask you this, too. From song to song, does the instrumentation change at all?
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You got to check this out.
I know.
I'll give you a copy.
You got Marty Rifkin playing pedal steel. You got Sean Hurley playing bass.
Yeah.
Did you have synthesized drums? Did you have real drums?
We had real drums. My producer's a drummer, and he's fantastic, and he did the drums.
And who played the piano on the recorded track that you did?
Matthew Lurie on that one, who was from the songwriting school.
Awesome.
That's how I met him.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So a little collaboration with another colleague.
Yes, yes.
It's always good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And are you playing live anywhere?
Yeah, I have my release show.
When's your release show?
November 10th at the Mint.
Oh, man. That's like my old stomping grounds.
All right, man. Well, you should come on down.
I know. I love that venue. It's so funny. When you walk into that venue, you think the stage is going to be right in front of you. But the stage is looking, you know, west. And you walk into, like, a side profile. Have you ever been to the Mint? Awesome.
Stevie Wonder.
Old club.
Ray Charles have played there, I've learned.
I didn't know that.
Ben Harper's played there.
That's, you know what? Ben Harper told me face to face that was his favorite venue.
Shut up.
Swear to God.
He's played like the Hollywood. Yep. Ben Harper's played everywhere.
Dude, he told me, like, I actually gave him a flyer to a show I was playing at the Mint. He said, "You're playing the Mint?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Dude, that's my favorite venue."
What?
And I said, "Really?" He said, "Favorite venue." So when he did a surprise show, he played it at the Mint. And I met him again. And I was like, "Dude, you're right. You know, it is your favorite venue because you're here playing again." So. Awesome. Yeah, Keith Richards has played there.
There we go.
Rolling Stones. Who else, man? It's just like a very, you know, the movie Jersey Boys was filmed there. You could always tell by the records on the ceiling, on the stage.
Yeah, a lot of people. I've never played there before. But it's awesome. I was awesome just like venue. Scouting out locations, and I just, I don't know, it felt right.
And it's a great, iconic venue. It's just gone through so much history. Yeah. And it's gone through good management, bad management, and everything in between, too.
That's what I heard. I did.
So it's gone through the rafters a little bit. But you know what? It's one of those clubs that's like a staple of Los Angeles. It's a great songwriters, you know, venue. And that's awesome. Are you playing acoustic? Are you playing with a full band?
No. Well, that's one of the reasons I picked there is because they have a nice, at least for what I, like in terms of the options I had, they have a nice big stage. So I'm playing with a full band. That's what,
exciting.
Yeah. I'm going to have at least five people up there.
Are any of the guys that played on your record playing on for the live show?
You know, I did. Well, my drummer will be there, yes. I was going to reach out to Matthew Lurie about piano. I haven't done it yet. So if you're listening.
I hope you're available for the gig.
Sean, I think he was like on tour with Idina Menzel. I feel like he's so busy. I didn't even. And I don't know what that would, price-wise, that would be. So I'm going with the homies. I'm just trying. I'm gonna have fun with it.
That's awesome.
I got some good guys.
Now, did it make you want to record another record? Or are you like, I want to take time off.
Well, it took so long. I'm like, I already have new songs. Like, I'm ready to go. And I guess like the way the music industry is like is today, you just gotta keep. It's not something you put out a record, then you put out a record 2 years later. Like you put out a record, then you put out another song in 3 months or 4 months or whatever.
I think I'm gonna do one more full length album. And then after that, it's just all going to be singles.
That's, it seems like, where it's going.
Like, not because I don't love making albums. I love making albums, but it is a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to throw, I mean, life has its own ups and downs. To add a record to that, like, I've done 7 records in my career.
Damn.
And every one of those has taken so much out of me in a great way, and when I listen back to them, I don't think about any of the negative things that I had to go through to make them. But it's just a huge undertaking to do a record. As you know, it's like you're obsessing over it. You want people to like jam on it and love it and live it and believe in it. And when it does take flight, it's like the most amazing thing when you see how it becomes a soundtrack for people's lives or it becomes their wedding songs. It, you know, it's like the baby making music, you know, if you will, you know, it's crazy. It's like you're like, you really realize like, wow, this is really kind of incredible what we do as musicians or, you know, craft emotions, you know. Speaking of crafting emotions, what are you going to play for us next?
We got another one? All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, this is the first track on the CD. Starts off with before you have to live your life out loud, you have to not give up on yourself. So this song is called
"Good Point."
Don't give up on you. Wait, gotta do this.
You need to do that before you play.
Well, you know, it's my
all
first.
That talking.
It's my first record, man. Give me a break.
I'm just kidding.
All right. You seem tired, a little uninspired, stuck out of tune. You keep dragging it fast through the mud of your past. Well, of course you feel blue. I know it's hard when the pain of your scars keeps seeping through. Please disregard them, then you can see yourself the way I do. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how you
You're gonna break out, I swear on it. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through it. Yeah, it's a short bet, I'm telling ya. Lately, you've been feeling daily all stuck in your head. But to me, you sound crazy, 'cause you always amaze me when you let loose instead. I know it's rough, 'cause you just spent enough time feeling down. You start looking up, you'll feel all this love, and we'll turn things around. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how you're gonna break out, I swear on it. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through it. Yeah, it's a sure bet, I'm telling you. Just let your love stand tall. See, I hope you're believing, 'cause you're here for a reason. Don't give up on you now. May not be clear how you're gonna break out. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through. Yeah, it's a sure bet. Oh yeah, yeah. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how. It may not be clear how. Nah, 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 nah. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Nah, nah. Don't you give up. Don't you give up, don't you give up, nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, very nice. You got a lot of, like, Brett Denon, Passenger kind
yeah,
of vibe.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
In my bio, really cool. It says, like, if you like Brett Denon and Passenger.
You're like, pick me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Then pick me.
I've never done a show with Passenger, but I have done a show with Brett Denon.
Oh,
super
cool
guy.
He's
awesome.
Like a foot taller than me, though, I think.
He's kind of, and he's played with some of my band members, too. He's a tall dude. He's he's kind of an awkward dude, too. He's a little weird.
Aren't we all? We're all a little weird.
We're all a little weird, right? That's okay. It's good to be weird.
I think so.
Keep all of us weird. That's what it should be.
Yes.
Right, Renan?
Yeah. Definitely.
You got a little acoustic music in your soul. Your acoustic guitar sounds great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Love Martins, man. How long have you had that?
Like 6 years, 7 years. I've had it forever.
Man, that's the guitar I play live with. You know, not the exact one. I have a jumbo version of pretty much the same guitar, same woods. And man, it always sounds so good. It's like one of those guitars that just like opens up over time. Always sounds good. Sounds better and better year after year.
Yeah. I've never like, this is my guitar. Like, I don't have a desire. I mean, I'll take another one. I mean, it seems really cool, like, if you, like, make it to a certain stage and people hand you guitars while you're playing different songs.
Yeah.
But I love this guitar.
That's the thing. It's like, I now have so many guitars, but I always come back to that one. I always come back to that one, especially live. It's like, that has been on the journey with me from the beginning. So it's like, I always want that guitar with me. Because it's been the one that I've written the most songs with, the one I toured with. So are you going to do a little tour, a little acoustic tour or anything?
You know, I'd like to. That may be, I don't have anything planned right now. I was thinking about maybe like doing like a summer thing and maybe like recording in the winter. These are my like future plans now.
Yeah.
Then like dropping something in the spring. And then when that comes out, I'll do like a summery tour. Because I also tutor. So it's like now is not a good time to.
Right. Because it's school year.
Unless I want to lose all my clients.
But. Well, you could play some music on these college campuses maybe.
Yeah. You know, I've heard about that. I want to look into that. How the. College, I heard that's a cool Like, if you get into the circuit, you can just play a bunch of places.
It is a lot of fun.
Have you done it?
I've done a lot of it. Yeah, I have. It is also super exhausting just because you're flying, driving all the time.
You do it solo or with your band?
I've done it both. I've had the band play like 3 or 4 shows, and then I drive off and do 2 or 3 more. Uh-huh. And man, just even a week of it, it's like I'm ready to sleep for months.
For months.
But it's awesome. It's also exciting.
Right.
Like, because that's the coolest thing about doing a record is you're traveling. You're like a traveling salesman. And it's like you're pitching the product and you're doing it with your live, you know, instrument, and you find out moments where you can let loose a little bit on the guitar, let loose a little bit on your vocals, and the songs become something else. You know what I mean?
So just like Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. No, that's what made them so great. You know what I mean? I'm a firm believer in touring, like nonstop. But, you know, until you get to my old age, and then you don't want to tour as much, right? Ronan's like, I know, I feel your pain. I want to be at home watching the game. You know what I mean?
No, Ronan's ready to jump out of airplanes.
Yeah, Ronan's actually ready. He's like,
he's going a different direction.
I don't know, Nikki, like, You live a boring life. I want to ride motorcycles and jump out of planes.
No, I would. One of my dreams were like being a rock star. It's like
never too late, man. Pick up that guitar and start recording.
Yeah, I know.
You ever record at home?
Yeah, have a little thing going on, but it's just for myself.
Yeah. And did you do any overdubs or anything at home?
No.
You were like, no, it's all gonna be in the studio.
That's I did my I demos at home. But then I don't know. I did it all there.
And did you finish the songs in order, or did you kind of?
I didn't even know how many songs were going to be on it when we started. It kind of just happened, and then I realized like how I wanted to express myself, and I feel like this collection of 6 songs at least nailed it for who I've been for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So if you want to get to know me,
well, one more time, how can people find you?
You can find me at Matt Westerman.
Spell it out, because people are dumb.
You know, usually I like to say I believe in my fans. If you're, I think they
all
can.
Right.
But no, I'll do it. Okay, M-A-T-T, like Matt. And then Westerman, W-E-S-T-E-R-M-A-N. I'm on all of the things, Instagram, Facebook, Spacebook.
we're excited that you're on everything.
Yeah,
it's all things exciting. Social media.
Yeah. Not Snapchat, so that's not even true.
Oh, dude,
so
that's I'm a lying good one. To you.
You know, well, it's like Instagram is Snap. I can't keep up.
You know what? All my Facebook and Instagram is all pictures of my bulldog anyway. So it's like I put very little music stuff on there, but that's awesome.
And then November 10th.
November 10th, the Mint. What time are you playing?
9:30.
Awesome. Prime time.
Yeah.
Love it.
Friday.
And you got a full band playing?
Yep.
Debuting the record?
Yep.
What's the name of the record one more time?
Life Out Loud.
Life Out Loud. Matt Westerman. Dude, thank you for coming back.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
I like that you came back and you're like, I've got a record.
Yeah.
And I got a video. And I jumped out of a plane. Yes. No, that's what it's about. So we wish you the best. And man, thanks for coming on Wake Up Hollywood. Ronan, let's play a little bit of One Fine Day, the studio version.
Yeah.
As we go out.
Yep.
All right.
Go Dodgers.
And Ronan, real quick. Man, I want to give you a special thanks. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Dude, we've been doing this show for 4 years. You hold us together. You keep us moving forward. Anybody that sees the Wake Up Hollywood LA Talk Radio website, it's all Ronan that puts the bios up, that gets everything looking sharp, moving smoothly. So thank you from Eddie and me.
Of course.
Thank you for all that you do. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next week.
Find it hard to keep, see things are gonna go my way. How I'm not so sure when it's all been done before. But can dreams go to waste? See, all I know, I feel whole when I listen to what's in my soul. So here's the plan, I'm gonna take a stand and be who I want to. It's one fun day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back. Things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day.
lights open out of my bed. No reason to be scared. I see love is everywhere. When I...
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.